You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, quit your J-O-B, that just overbroke job, by investing in real estate. And in today's show, super pumped to bring on a fantastic real estate investing expert who started with single family homes, then grew into short-term properties, and now huge mobile home parks. He's going to show us how we can get wealthy by buying land, let other people rent out their mobile homes on it. He's going to show us how he did it and how you can do it as well. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
What's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. Now, this week is the week of Income Building Live, and I am so pumped about this. We have 200 to 300 real estate investors coming in and taking part in a live 3-day event. Now, it's probably a little late for you once you hear this. Like, we're gonna release on Tuesday, and then Thursday is Income Building Live. But if you're anywhere in the Nashville area, you have to come. You have to be there. Go to IncomeBuildingLive.com, or we have the link in the description of this show so that you can actually find if you want to come hang out with me and hundreds of other real estate investors. This is the last one I'm ever going to do. Last big 3-day conference, getting hundreds and hundreds of people together. It's just so much work. And so I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going to be focusing on other things. But now I need to tell you about this. I need to tell you about what is going on in the economy and how we might be ending up with another 2008 recession. I'll probably do a full episode on this next week, but I'm going to give you a little enticing of what I'm going to be talking about next week. And there's going to be so much more. Right now, I'm bringing on a fantastic investor that you have to listen to and become like this investor, or just like become a real estate investor. That's really what I want. And if you listen to my last week's episode, and if you haven't, go back and listen to it. You must listen to it, because it's not that you should invest in real estate. I've been telling you this for 10 years. This is a 10-year podcast. Ugh, has it been that long? Wow, it's been 10 years. Started in 2016. It's been 10 years doing this podcast where I've been telling you should invest in real estate because you want financial independence, or you want at least freedom to do whatever you want. Now, it's no longer that you should. Let me say that one more time. It's no longer that you should invest in real estate. It's that you must invest in real estate. And the reason why is because more than likely your job will be taken away in the next 5 years. I'll say that one more time. Your job, whatever you're doing for a living, will probably be taken away in the next 5 years because of AI. This is absolutely earth-shattering, life-changing things that are going on because of AI, and I'm really seeing it. And I'll give you one quick thing that I talked about last week. Go back and listen to it. I went so much more in depth, but Oracle just laid off 30,000 programmers, and programming jobs were supposed to be the most stable, secure jobs you could ever think of. That's what they were telling you back in 2000s. Oh, become a computer programmer. Don't be a plumber. Those are stupid people. Don't be a roofer. Don't be an electrician. I'm kind of being facetious, but they're saying you need to be a computer programmer. Well, now those jobs are gone. Gone are those jobs. In fact, we created the Income Builder software. Our Income Builder software, IncomeBuilder.io, is amazing. It's what I wish I had as a real estate investor. And we created it. We created it with one programmer. His name's Juan, business partner of mine, with no other programmers. And this is amazing because he's using AI to do it. Now this is what you really need to be hearing is that, next week I'm going to be releasing a full episode on all of this. But you remember back in 2008, we had the real estate market crash. Now, if you are old enough, you will remember in 2001, there was another market crash. Before that, obviously there's more and more, but let's just start with 2001. 2001, we had the dot-com market crash because everybody was dumping money into dot-coms And now we know that eventually they, you know, .com or the internet's going to take over and it's really going to make a lot of money, but they were really ahead of the game. They were like, pets.com was like a $1 billion company when it made no money. People were just dumping money into it. Then that market crashed. Everybody lost so much money. It was amazing how crazy that was and how big the crash was after that. Then 2008. 2008, we had the subprime loans that caused the real estate market crash. Subprime loans, Bear Stearns was a bank. And there was a couple other. Enron was another company that went bankrupt. But these big companies, they were built on faulty foundations. And Bear Stearns was the first big bank to go bankrupt in 2008. And then, what was the other company? Countrywide Financial, they were giving all these terrible loans. But the subprime loans, the subprime financial loans that they were giving out, basically, if you had a pulse and you stated how much income you had, they would give you a mortgage to buy a house. Well, that blew up. 2008, we had the real estate market crash. Then, now, fast forward to where we are now. We haven't had a real estate correction, and usually economies have corrections every 7 to 8 years. A correction, you know, up and then correct, come down a little bit, up and then down a little bit. Well, we have not had one. I mean, 2020, that was a fluke. That was just a man-made or caused by like, hey, let's shut everything down. But we have not had one since 2008. And the reason why I'm telling you this is there's two things now, right now, that is happening that you, number one, you must invest in real estate. It's not that you should. It's not a luxury anymore. It's you have to, because this is the only way you're going to be able to make money. There's going to be other ways, but this is going to be the best way and your job's going to be gone. But two things hitting right now. Number one, we're looking at the AI craze, that all the AI stocks and all the companies that do AI chips, those have just trillions and trillions of dollars have exploded, just like the .com. So I'm seeing a very similarity there, where as it ran up and they're going to realize, oh, this is a house of cards. There's nothing there. Like, yes, of course they're doing AI, but they're inflating the values of all of this stuff that might correct. Who knows? It might not, but I'm just seeing that this AI craze where all the stocks have just exploded, there could be a correction and something can happen. But at the same time, when I told you about the subprime loans that are going on right now, there's a new, well, I wouldn't say new, it's been around for a little while, but there is a big problem in the banking industry. Banks, don't banks just ruin everything? They take all of our money and they ruin everything. And then we have to bail them out, which means they're going to take money from the taxpayers, which they did in 2008, and gave it to the banks. And they say, they're going to tell you, oh, they gave all the money back. Did they really? How do we know? We're just taking your word for it. Well, then we also look at what we have now. The subprime was 2008. We have the private credit industry. $265 billion credit meltdown going on right now. These are banks lending to other banks. These are banks lending to institutions like BlackRock. Well, banks are going bankrupt right now, and they're not telling you this. And next week, I'm going to unveil all of this. So there is a $265 billion private credit market meltdown. This is how Wall Street's hottest investment craze, I mean, since 2 years, it's now in a panic. It's in a panic because everybody's going bankrupt. You need to listen to next week's episode. You also need to listen to last week's episode, where it's not that you should invest in real estate. It's that you must invest in real estate if you want to be able to provide for your family. It seems like something is coming that we need to be ready for. And if you're ready, you are going to make so much money, because people are going to be hurting because they weren't prepared. You're prepared. Did you know that Warren Buffett has the largest amount of cash he's ever had stored on the sidelines waiting? So basically, he sold off so many things and now is storing cash. Why would a billionaire who knows everything about the economy, everything about the market, why would he be sitting on cash? Is it because that maybe there might be a correction? He'll buy everything up? Who knows? Hopefully you're ready, but come back, listen next week. You got to hear next week's episode. But today, I'm super pumped to share with you one of our Master Passive Income students, one of my first coaching students that we had back in 2019, 2020, I think. But he's successfully unemployed now, and he is a fantastic real estate investor. And now he's moved into a mobile home park craze. He loves mobile home parks because he makes so much money without having any of the headaches. And he's going to show us how he did it, how you can do it as well. All right, here we go. I have William Parmer from the Breakthrough Investor podcast. I have a fantastic friend of mine and investor and student coach here at Master Passive Income. I have William Parmer on the show. William, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Awesome. Appreciate it. And so excited to be here, Dustin. Haven't been on the show. I think it's been a couple of years, so this ought to be fun.
It's been a little while. And you have your own podcast, the Breakthrough Investor Podcast.
Yeah. Courtesy of yourself. And thank God Charles does all the background stuff for the recording and setting all that up and the emails and stuff, because I would get lost in the sauce with that. But yeah, the Breakthrough Investor Podcast has been awesome. And we're coming up on episode 100. So that's going to be a good episode. That's going to be, as Charles says, that's going to be juicy. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Learned a lot. I've learned that I really like to ask a lot of questions to other investors and learn why they do what they do and what are they hoping to achieve. And it's been awesome. I've learned so many things, and I wish I had more time to do all of the things that they're doing. So it may come eventually, but it's been fascinating and been a lot of fun.
You made me think of a quote, proverb, something like that. But I love this one. It says, a smart man learns from his own mistakes, but a wise man learns from other people's mistakes. And honestly, you and I are very, very similar. I ask so many questions of people who've already done what I want to do, from investing to business to you name it. I'm asking as many questions as possible, because as best as I can, I want to not do the mistakes that they've done and learn from their mistakes. And that's the great thing about when I brought you on as a coach. You already had your own mistakes that you were coaching people on. But then when you came before that, you came on as a coaching student, and I am here saying, well, this is what worked for me, and let me get you over, like, this didn't work, so don't do that. This did work, then do that. And tell me, what made you actually really get into, I really need to get into coaching because I need to make a change. But what made you get into Master Passive Income coaching?
Oh man, where do I begin, right? Well, first off, I guess we'll go way back. So I saw my dad kind of do real estate growing up. And when I say kind of, I mean kind of, because he didn't really understand everything about how to do financing, the way it should be done. And he was managing one to two little properties on his own. And man, I told him about a year ago, if you would have kept those properties, they'd be worth $200,000 to $300,000, and they'd be paid off right now. And anyway, it's just one of those things. They've been super encouraging, but I watched him do it wrong. And I was like, man, I don't want to do it wrong. Right. I don't like making mistakes. It's really frustrating for me. And I just realized I want coaching. I want somebody to walk me through how to do it. And I wasn't, obviously, everybody's human. You're going to make some mistakes regardless. But if I can remove 80% of the mistakes, and especially the big costly ones, why would I not pay for that? Because you're spending a little bit of money for coaching, for mentorship, et cetera, but you're actually going to gain that in the long run much, much faster through the knowledge
and
the
save you time.
Absolutely. You're propelling yourself forward by doing that. But I watched my dad do this growing up. And so fast forward, I went in the military, became a law enforcement officer afterwards, was married, was expecting, I think it was my second kid, and was in my patrol car late at night one evening. I think it was like 11:30 p.m. or something like that. It was dark. I was in a cul-de-sac, and we weren't allowed to stop other cars because COVID was going on. And so we weren't allowed to just interact with the public unless we needed to. And so it was very boring. Like I was bored out of my mind. And so I just realized that I was listening to, like, I love music. So I was listening to music for hours and hours and hours. And so I just realized I wasn't learning anything. And it's kind of dangerous, in my opinion, for, like, on that kind of job to sit and read a book, because your situational awareness is not around you and you have to be mindful. So I was like, well, audio, what is there on Spotify, right? And so I searched, I just remembered my dad, like, doing real estate. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if there's somebody that's any good at kind of, like, explaining how this works and isn't boring. And so I just searched real estate podcast on Spotify, and lo and behold, Master Passive Income, I think, might have been the first one. And of course, I do like everybody else did. I just clicked play, have no idea what episode it was. I think you had around 230 episodes out or something at the time. But I listened to it, and the thing that really, it just made me realize, like, man, I could probably do this. And your reasons for doing real estate were similar to what, why I wanted more time and financial independence, like, right? So I'm a believer, you're a believer. And honestly, I probably wouldn't have done the coaching with you if you weren't a believer, because we're held to a certain standard. And so I was like, well, he's going to meet this standard because he's being very open about this and he's not ashamed. So this ought to be good. And so I went back to the very beginning and I binged 230, 250 episodes, got to where that's all I was listening to in my car. And my wife was like, what is going on with you? Because I was just talking about like this guy named Dustin and his podcast and how much fun it was to listen to. And I was like, wow, this is great. What, like, can I think I can do this. And so I realized through listening to him that I'm qualified to be a student. Because I was not in debt minus my mortgage. We pay cash for basically everything for years. And I was like, well, I can scrape together some money for some coaching and probably for a down payment on a house. And unbeknownst to me, the first house I ever bought, I bought with a one sheet piece of paper and $100. And I just knocked on their door because I heard that they were wanting to sell. And I closed on the house 14 days later. And this is well before coaching. So I was like, well, I did this. I wonder if I can do it again. And so after that became a student, that's kind of what propelled me into doing it. And I really wanted more time with my family and to not have financial stresses be the reason that I can't have time with my family. And I wanted more time to do like to work with my hands to help other people around me. That's something I have a passion for, is I work harder when I'm not being paid for something, but I really want to be there to help somebody else. So I was like, well, I think I can do this, and I'll have time to homeschool my kids. And so that's kind of what made me get started.
And since then, you've bought real estate, you own properties, and you got into mobile home parks, which for me, it's like, oh, I've never done that asset class, a mobile home park. I've never done it. Now, I would not just invest in the mobile homes themselves, because it's a depreciating asset. The values will be gone. It's not like a home. Homes values go up, but you invest in the land. Obviously, you own also the mobile home, some mobile home parks or the mobile homes themselves, but you love owning the park because it's just like you're just owning land and there's very little. Talk to us about getting into the mobile home business, because that's crazy when we go from single family homes, all of a sudden now you're mobile home landowner.
Yeah. So that was a pretty crazy story. Basically fast forward, I think it was 2 years, and I had left law enforcement due to various reasons, which I'm not going to get into on here, but started working in construction with my brother-in-law's company. He was starting a deck company. He's like, hey, I need a foreman, somebody who's reliable, going to show up, going to do the job, even if they don't want to do it kind of thing. And I was like, okay, well, this might be a good transition. And so I was on top of a mountain. It was 32 degrees. The wind was blowing. I couldn't feel my hands. And then I smashed my thumb with a hammer. It was throbbing something serious. And so I threw my hammer down in disgust. And I was like, I'm sitting in my truck and I'm turning the heat on because I can't feel anything besides my thumb. And so I remember just sitting there and being like, man, I wonder what is interesting that might not be on market that's going to come up for sale. So I just reached out to a local real estate agent that actually had helped me buy my primary residence probably 2-3 years before. I said, hey, Kelsey, you got anything interesting that's not on market? And she goes, well, funny you should say that and ask, because there's this little mobile home park. And it's the guy wants us to sell it for $175,000. It only brings in $905 a month. And we're trying to see if anybody wants to buy it. And I said, well, I'm interested. Just send me everything you got. And so she did. And it's about 30 minutes away from where I live. And so anyway, basically ended up buying it, didn't negotiate the price because he was taking a $25,000 loss on the property. But the reason why it was so attractive, now obviously that doesn't meet the 1% rule, and so I was, by most people's standards, I was definitely overpaying. But the thing that was really attractive about it was that I could immediately rent raise. I could raise the rents out of the gate. And I saw that and I was like, man, they haven't had a rent raise in 15 years. They were paying $105 a month lot rent for the single wides, and there was an old duplex. And then there was an abandoned single wide that had you could fall through the floor as soon as you open the front door. And I'm not unfamiliar with how single wides are built and how the way they work. So it didn't really scare me. I was like, man, that's annoying. But that was about the extent of my thought with that. And then I had somebody who was doing drugs and squatting in one. So, like, everything, a lot of things you could think about that would turn people off
Was this
was going
before
on
you
in this
bought the property?
all before.
Okay, so you're learning all this stuff as you go.
Wrecked.
And
Yeah.
then you, how many pads is it?
So this one's a 10 pad with a duplex.
And then you had a car on it that you were able to sell. We don't need to
Wrecked.
get into it, but like you're just like me. We make money every single way that we can. So, but at the same time, you're looking at this place. I've never coached anybody how to buy a mobile home. Like,
Yeah,
how'd you actually
I
get
remember
the
actually talking to you about that,
I
and
mean,
you're like,
we talked through it, but I've
yeah.
never actually done it. That's hard for me to like really give you any advice other than, well, the numbers look like they should work out. So this is a different asset class. So how'd you get over that hurdle?
So I got over the hurdle mainly because I saw the potential in it. I had never looked at a mobile home park and had never actually really talked to anybody in that asset class to, at that point. But I saw the potential and I knew of a property management company in the area. And so I reached out to them and said, hey, what's the going rate for a single wide if I own it versus the lot rent? And they're like, well, in this area, it's not uncommon for XYZ, which was like $200 a month. And it's actually higher than that now. And so I said, okay, well, I did the math and I was like, well, I kind of like it. And I'm handy, so I can do a remodel if I need to. It's not too far.
So before you move on, keep that story, part of that story, but I want everybody to be listening. If you remember what William said he did, he called up property managers first. He didn't just guess. He didn't hope that he got the right information or he had any information whatsoever. He didn't call realtors. He called up the property manager, the people that would manage it perpetually, like hopefully for a very, very long time. And so that is what we, that's textbook building the business first. We want to build the business first because in the end, we don't, I'm not the expert. In fact, I get so many students say, "Hey, Dustin, you invest in this area. You're the expert. Tell me what to do." Like, I'm like, no, I'm not the expert. We hire experts. Even though I might know a little bit about the cities that I invest in, there's no way do I even want to think that I'm an expert. I always call other people. Even though I might have an idea, I just check, okay, that fits. Let me go ahead and move forward. And so everybody realized that that's what William exactly did. He took what he's done many times before, because he's invested in other real estate as well. And from the coaching, learning, build the business. And the first thing he did was call up a property manager because that's the right way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And it provided me the information to where I actually knew that I wanted to make an offer. And so ended up buying the property and found out much later that there's four other mobile home park owners in this particular area that all wanted it. But it was literally bad timing for every one of them. And they found out just after I did. And like God absolutely lined that one up because it just doesn't make sense otherwise. Because they would have probably paid even more if they had the opportunity. So ended up buying it. There was an abandoned Jeep, sold that, made like I think it was 753% return on my investment. It was insane. And then took it and put a new roof on the duplex, which improved. Now that's a fixed structure. So Dustin, you mentioned before that mobile homes are a depreciating asset. Now they 100% are. You will never hear me say otherwise. Now the way that the mobile home structure works. Now I didn't understand this going in. A lot of this stuff I learned on the back end, I just saw enough and my intuition was like, hey, you should probably buy this thing. Worst case scenario, you'll sell it. You might lose 20 grand, but that's okay. because the land itself with the duplex, where the rent raises, if I raised the duplex rent, would have actually covered that cost. So when you look at a mobile home park, the trailer rent and the lot rent should be two different line items. So if you have $500 trailer rent and $250 lot rent, that's $750. So when people look at those, they combine them together to get the income. That is wrong. You will overpay for that park something serious. And then you will regret, you'll think you're fine for 3 to 5 years, and then you're going to get hit with HVAC, a leaking pipe in three locations, the sewers backing up inside the house, or whatever it is, right? Just think of all the problems you could have in a regular house, but this is an asset class that basically has a shelf life of 30 years. So what you have to do is you have to take the lot rent number alone, and that is how you get the actual value. So it would be a culmination of lot rent 250 times however many pads, and that gives you your income. Now, there's different ways that you could get into, like, okay, so how's the management work? Are you doing bill back on the water and the sewer and the trash, et cetera? And then there's another formula for that. But I could get into the weeds with that kind of stuff. So ended up doing that, realizing that everything was dramatically under rent. Ended up getting the squatter that was the drug user out of there without having to spend any money. Didn't have to go to court.
And I want to pause for a quick second and share that, honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. Now, my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin at Master Passive Income. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that. And how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate, because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets.
Talking about the numbers of buying it, how much it rented for, and all that sort of stuff, like sure. Cash flow.
So when I bought it, the first year it made, I think it was negative $900. So I bought it the first year. It made basically
$900. You mind sharing how much you bought it for?
Absolutely. So I paid $175 for this thing, and it's in the middle of this really small town. So like its physical location is pretty valuable, and I saw that down the road. So that was another reason why I was like, oh, if the town grows, this little 1.6 acre tract of land is going to be the royal pain in the rear end if they can't buy it. So There's one out right there. But it was bringing in $905, paid $175,000, used private money to purchase this thing. So I called a guy. We had done – actually, this was our first deal together, come to think about it. And he had never helped buy one of these things before. And we went and had coffee, and he goes, yeah, I like it. Let's do it. And then he basically was like, I'm good with this. You bring $18,000 down. Etc. And we ended up buying it. And it made, I think it was negative $900 in the first year. And of course, I only owned it about 6 months into this year. So out of 6 months, it was negative $900. Now, the next year, I did some rent raises. And
because you knew going into it, you could raise rents.
Correct. The next year, I made, I think it was only $2,000. And then the following year was the jump. It went from, when I say I made $2,000, that was my net take home. So that's not the total gross. But by year three, I had such a large jump. My CPA actually called me and he's like, I think something's wrong with your numbers because it jumps so much that it doesn't make sense. And I was like, well, let me tell you. And so I explained everything. I was like, the numbers are correct. And he's like, so you went from like maybe $16,000 of total income to $48,000 in a year. And I was like, yeah.
Well, what'd you do? Because that sounds crazy, going from 16 to 48,000.
So I did lot rent increases. I ended up doing owner finance on two of the single wides. Well, I did a minor repairs, fixed the hole in the one that you could fall through, and ended up doing an owner finance deal on that. And that one, I can't remember exactly how I had the deal set up, but it makes $752 a month. And then the one that was decent, but I hadn't remodeled yet. The family of this one individual that was already renting the one said, "Hey, we have a family member that would like to live here. Can they have the same deal you gave us?" And I said, "Well, I haven't done any work in this one yet." And they're like, "They don't care. They'll do it themselves." And I was like, "Okay." So $545 a month for that one. And the funny thing was, it only cost me $134 in taxes to get that title. So
And
they
are
didn't.
they paying you rent, lot rent on top of that too?
Nope. So that's combined. That's trailer and lot rent together. And then the duplex, I did a rent raise on that, so, and remodeled, pretty cheap remodel on one, on that one, and it's $725, $730 a month, and then the other side is 505 because I haven't remodeled it, and those are both Section 8, and I have had no problems whatsoever. In fact, right before this, I got a text like, "Hey, we need a new refrigerator in this unit," and so I looked at the cost of the refrigerator, and I was like, "Am I responsible or is the tenant?" And I said, "Well, it was here when they moved in, so that would be you." And I was like, "Okay, that makes sense. I got that, no problem." And this is a great thing about this property manager. They're like, "Hey, the purchase price is this, our install price is this, and we'll haul the old one away." And I was like, so I added up the time it would take me to go do that, because remember, it's 30 minutes away. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna go do that for that price." So I was like, "Do it." So they're gonna put a new one in
So
there tomorrow.
there's 10 lots. You're
10
now
lots.
$48,000 instead of 16, which is great.
Correct.
And you're now looking for more mobile home parks.
Correct.
Now, talk to us about the scaling aspect of buying mobile home parks.
So the scaling aspect, that is what I'm working on right now. So what I'm doing with that is I'm focusing in my specific area. So I actually paid for coaching from the fifth largest mobile home park owner in the US. They own 13,000 lots. Let that sink in. It's a massive amount. They're very good at what they do. It's two guys and their family. They work all in the business together and they're very, very successful. But they are like, "Hey, we got all this knowledge. Why don't we sell a course and help other people do this? Because we can't possibly own all of this. It's ridiculous to try." And so I did the course and learned some of the things that I learned that I did a lot of things right on this park. Did a couple of things wrong, but I can recoup from it. So it's not really a big deal. And so I'm taking their coaching and I am going to target the four counties around which I live where there are between 30 and 50 mobile home parks in this area. And it sounds like an excessive amount. Our counties are pretty large. So I am actually compiling a list of all the ones that are known, which is 30 to 50, and then all the ones I know about personally that you can't find unless you know they're there. And I'm going to get a hold of the owners and I'm going to start looking at offering owner financing, et cetera. And the whole thing that I'm looking for, the biggest one is, what is the lot rent? Is it up to the standard for the county? And I know this area pretty well, so I know what the lot rent really should be. So I'm basically going to run a BRRRR on a mobile home park. It just takes longer than a single family. It's a 2 to 3 year deal. However, if you buy them and you can infill them, which there is a program that I learned about where they will actually infill a park for you and they will sell the trailer to the tenant outside of me, the park owner, and then I can collect the lot rent. So I don't touch the single wide, which is great because I don't want to. I just want the lot rent. So that's the goal for scaling and then
You're going to reach
utilizing
out to each one
private
of them,
money.
like through phone call and driving by and all that sort of stuff.
Ideally, I want to do phone call first, and then text, and then mail, and then some of them I will actually go to if they have a main office. For instance, when I say 30 to 50, there's one particularly that I would love to end up with eventually. It sold for $16 million 6 years ago, and it's large. It's 350 plus units, but there's a massive need in my area for low income housing, and I'm next to two colleges, and so the rent is astronomical. Like it's crazy expensive, even for single wides. But what I would like to do is go in and buy these and then put the lot rent at a reasonable dollar amount and then sell the single wides to the tenants for a reasonable purchase price. I'm not talking like 20 grand. I'm talking like $5,000 to $7,000 a pop, and then put the lot rent at something that is reasonable they can afford without taking all of their money from them every single month and giving them pride of ownership. So, and that's one thing. A lot of these parks, they own the trailers and the lots themselves. But if you run your numbers correctly and look at the lot rent only, you're not going to overpay for it, and you can actually afford to sell those back to the tenants. And you have just eliminated – you've eliminated some income, granted.
Because but a lot of headache. And it's a depreciating asset, exactly, which will be gone eventually.
Correct. You can't get a loan on single-wise typically. Like, it's really hard. But I am getting rid of a maintenance nightmare.
So what? In a heartbeat. What are some big lessons you learned in buying these mobile home parks?
Well, in buying the mobile home parks, know how to run your numbers is probably one of the biggest ones. Use what I call the true NOI, the true net operating income, which is the lot rent and fixed asset rent only. So on mine, you can include my duplex because you can't move it. And you can include the lot rent, but you cannot include the trailer rent. So that's one of the big ones. Once you know that, that takes care of a lot of headache. And then I would say realizing your clientele, because I can't tell you the number of times I've been called a slumlord, but then somebody goes to me and they're like, man, this is actually run pretty nice. My tenants, I had some old ones that have been there for 40, 45 years, legitimately. And
well, and like you were saying, like the type of clientele that normally would stay in a trailer park, they're not, you know, everyday people. Like, I don't think I would ever even think to go into a trailer park, not saying I'm any like a non-normal person. It's just different, a different mentality, I think.
Absolutely. And the history of that, like how mobile home parks came to exist is really interesting. But you have to realize a lot of these people, you can try to help them get out of a mobile home park and buy their own house, et cetera. But it's like they are stuck in this area that they just can't break through on their own. And I've tried to coach people out of it, but it's so hard to do. But they have to have a place to live as well. And so, well, if I own the park, why should I not provide good, safe, clean housing? Maybe give them the pride of ownership of the single wide themselves and say, hey, you keep the outside nice and clean, and you can raise a family if you choose to here, or you can live here for a couple of years, then you can pick up and move. That either one is fine. But I can provide that. And a lot of these people are older. They're on fixed incomes. They can't really do too much. But if they know what their outgo is going to be every single month, and it's much lower than, let's say, a $1,500 house payment or a rental payment, they're going to pick that. So you also families and older folks.
So you invest in single family homes, obviously now invest in mobile home parks. And what was great was we put on the Master Passive Income Masterminds. We do it 3 times a year. And if you're interested, go to masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind. I'll put the link in the description. At least I hope I'll remember to do that. But you came and you took part in the mastermind, obviously being a coach here at Master Passive Income, you're helping a lot of people, but then you also got some breakthrough that like, how do I actually scale? Like, so what is your direction now? Like, you're not thinking of just 10, 12 pad, you know, you're thinking, man, I'm just going to shoot for the moon.
Yep. So I realized that there's a point where it just doesn't really make sense to buy it for the cash that you're investing. So for me, if it's about a 15 pad or less, I'm really not that interested.
Just the one you got was a really good deal though.
It was a very good deal. Now, if I could find 15 of those, might be a different story, but I would say that was an unusual price for that one. But no, mainly I'm looking at the 50 to 150 pad, which is going to push into the $1 to $2.5 million range. And I realized that if I buy one park, if I can get one park owner financed at that range, I literally could live my entire life and never have to do anything else besides own that. And I've
And
done
you know
well with my little one. So it's like,
what's
why can't
really
I do it with
interesting too, back maybe even like, let's say 5 years ago, if you would have told me, well, Dustin, like $1 to $2 million purchase price on an asset, if I had to do that, I'd be like, oh man, that's kind of difficult. How do I do that? But now everything I've done, I've raised lots and lots of money, bought $32, $35 million apartment complexes. When you just told me, and it was just a shift in my brain too, that when you said 1 to 2, I'm like, oh, that's not that bad. You know, 1 to 2, that's not that bad. That's because I'm where I'm at now.
Full disclaimer. We talked about this, and what were we doing the other day? We were doing something with Charles, and you shared something, and I was like, man, I feel like everybody hits a wall at some point. Like you had a new capital raise to go buy something like that. Well, and you're like, man, it was actually easier than I thought. And I'm like, well, what if what I want to do is easier than I think? And so I'm getting over my own, like, hey, that's a lot of zeros, which now I look at the zeros and I'm like, okay, well, what really matters is what does it bring in? If it brings in enough to cover the zeros, like you have so much coming in, it's totally fine. And it's the debt service is great.
And your investors are going to be like, if you are good investors or a seller financing, you know, if it works out, it works out. If it's a good deal, it's a good deal. Yeah. And if you could find a good seller, it's just great, because as you are removing the roadblocks, and that's something that you were really, I was really loved chatting with you about at the mastermind, was the roadblocks in our brains that we hit. We think there's like whatever is hard for us is really simple for somebody else. And why is it simple for somebody else? Maybe they went through it. Maybe they've got education. Maybe they got a mentor. Maybe they have experienced it, whatever it might be. So it's just our own limitations that we put on ourselves, that if we get around the right people, we can get out of that limitation.
Absolutely. And that's one of those things that the mastermind was so helpful for, because I had actually thought about in like November, I think it was that of 25, where I was sitting there thinking, having a cup of coffee early one morning and realizing, hey, what is it that I don't want to do that is holding me back? Like, what is keeping me from growing? And then I saw this little quote from Alex Hormozi. He gets full credit for this. He had a little clip where he said, I take a look at the things that I don't want to do, and then I just attack them relentlessly. And I find out 60, 80% of the time that it is a lot easier to do than I thought. And so I was like, oh man, okay, so what is it for me? Me, it's actually raising that much private capital to go do that, because I don't want to syndicate.
You've never done it before.
I've just never done it before. And so that one, the operations of it, not really that big of a deal. I can hire a manager to do that, which mine is very interested in actually having a full-time manager just for me. From the property management company, I'm like, hey, that'll work great, but we're going to change a couple of things, which they're aware of. And so it's like, okay, well, if I can do that, I can sort most things out myself.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting, William? For me, I'm not interested in buying a $1 to $2 million. It's like, it's not big enough. I never thought I'd get to this place, but it's like, it has to be at least over 10 million for me to really get excited about it now, because I'm like, man. Every single step that you do, you know, once you buy your first property, that single family home starts making you money, you're like, oh, I can do that again. And you do it a couple more times, like, oh man, now I can. It's like riding a bike. It's like I go a little bit further, or I get a little bit stronger, and I get a little bit better. And you just, you have that foundation of experience, knowledge, and people around you that you can keep growing. Now, if somebody were on the fence, because coming to Income Building Live to join Master Passive Income and actually getting coaching here, if somebody's on the fence and you know this has helped you a ton, but what would you say to somebody that's on the fence about joining?
Man, that's one of those things I'm actually going to be talking about at Income Builder Live, trying to encourage people. Really, real estate with the right mentors and the right coaches for what you're trying to do and accomplish, it's actually a lot more simple than you think. If you're on the fence, my advice is gain knowledge. So listen to podcasts, get into coaching, find a real estate meetup local to you, and just go learn. You don't have to own a single property. It doesn't matter. Go sit, go listen, write down, just take a notepad, write down all the things that you're like, I don't know what this means. And then don't be afraid to ask what you might think is a dumb question. I ask so many questions all the time, and we talked about this. I've asked so many questions that I've actually had people be like, would you please be quiet? I'm like, I don't know the answer to this. I want to know. So I'm not afraid to ask questions. So that's super helpful. And then definitely getting around people that are doing it. If you are showing an interest in that, people are naturally going to want to help you succeed. So I would say do that is probably one of the best. Of course, I am totally biased. So Income Builder Live is an excellent place to start. It's been an amazing event across the board. So I'm definitely looking forward to going. But yeah, at some point you're going to have to make the decision. Am I going to be stuck in with who I was, or am I going to change to become who I'm meant to be? And so I'm making that decision currently, and I think it's a decision that everybody has to make throughout their entire life. It's not a one-stop thing. You don't do it one time. You do it consistently. And so that's my advice, is look at where you were and where you want to be and start making moves towards that.
I always love being around the people who are already where I want to be. If they're already there, more than likely they figured something out. And mm-hmm. I'd much rather utilize what they've done and their experiences and just ask them questions and get around them, because when you realize the fast track is because somebody's already done it. If you're trying to figure it out on your own, of course you're going to be able to do it. I did it. It took me almost 10 years to be able to become financially independent, because I just plowed my way through. That's my personality. I just keep going until I get it figured out. And so I did that. But like you, how long did you be, you know, from working a job, finding me, you know, buying your first property, working a job, to where you quit, you have your own business now, you have your properties. How long did it take you to do that?
I want to say 3.5 to 4 years, right around there.
I think it might have been less than that, because I think right around 2019, 2020, you started coaching with me. And then it was probably about 2024 at the latest, into 2024. Let's say 3 to 4 years. And so just imagine if you spent another 5 years trying to figure out on your own. That's an extra fight. You would still be working a job. Where
I absolutely would. Yeah.
I'm so glad that, like, I am blessed that now where I'm at, financially independent, which is amazing. But now I could help people like you and Charles. Charles, by the time this comes out, he has actually put in his 2 weeks notice. He is successfully unemployed now, where you have been for at least a year, almost 2 years now, which is it makes it so you're fast tracked when you're around the right people. And when you're, and here's a couple of different thoughts. Like, if you are in the right room with the right person, you only got there because of one of two ways. Number one, you put the time in there. You put the time and effort. You worked hard, and it took you a lot of time to get there. The second way is where you spend a little bit of money. You spend it like, hey, how do I get around professors out of college? You can't really just walk in unless you pay them. Like, you have to pay the professors to be around them. Same thing with being around experts. You can work your way into the room. It just takes a lot more time. Would you rather spend 5 years where you're just working your tail off and maybe saving or spending a lot of money because you're doing it wrong and you're actually made a mistake and you cut expenses, or just spend a little bit of money, get in the right room, get around the right people, so you're save yourself 5-6+ years so that you can become financially independent?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of those things I realized for myself, was like, I don't want to take 15 years to do this thing. I would like to do it faster. I think it's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day, that people are like, oh, real estate is not a get rich quick scheme. And I'm like, well, really, it depends on what you mean by time. Like, how do you think of time? If you're thinking like 5 to 7 years and you have financial independence, I'm like, that's really quick.
That's actually pretty fast. Most people, 70 years old, they're working for 40, 50 years.
Right. It breaks my heart when I go to Walmart and I see a guy or an elderly woman that's in their 70s bagging my groceries. I'm like, it literally hurts, because they have lived so long and they're having to do that just to pay what little bills they have. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And I'm doing this also because my, like, for my parents, because my parents don't have a retirement. I'm their retirement. So I they're my responsibility as well. And so if I push and be and get to where I'm trying to go, I mean, even at this stage, like, one good purchase is all I need, and then all I 100% of my time can be focused on family, homeschooling my kids, taking care of my parents, which is the stuff that I would like to be doing.
And what I love too is that obviously we want to invest in real estate. And that's one thing I love sharing is how you can invest in real estate, become financially independent because you have cash flow coming in. But also by you being in, like being around everything that I'm doing, I'm also encouraging you. When I remember when you said, "Hey, Dustin, I'm really thinking about quitting my job and starting my own business." I'm like, "Yes, you absolutely should do
Yeah,
that.
you did.
Trust me, you're going to do so well
Yeah.
by working for yourself." And so talk to us about that process.
Oh man. No, okay. So let's back up a little bit. So I was working at the family company now, been investing for a little bit, and working for the family company doing sales, which actually in hindsight was a really good thing for me to do. I learned a lot of things in the 6 months I was
Sales
there.
is a fantastic tool in your tool
Absolutely.
belt to have. Yep.
Yeah, and I'd love to take more sales training because I think it's fascinating. Anyway, I was doing that, but it was requiring a lot of time. And I was working for my brother, and he's in that phase of growth. So there's a lot of time and a lot of things he's like, "Hey, do this, do this, do this, do this." I'm like, "Dude." I was like, "I know I'm your brother and you're technically my boss, but I'm like, this is driving me insane." So anyway, I was out on a sales call, sitting in my truck, and I was talking to God. I was like, "God, this is taking way too much time away from my family. I'm not getting home until it's late. I eat dinner and then I'm up with the kids for 30 minutes and then it's bedtime, and I don't like that." And I was like, I need a shift. I need something to change." And then you called me and said, "Hey, I want you to do this podcast with Charles, but I'm concerned that you don't have enough time." And I mean, the moment you said that, it was like I got struck by a lightning bolt, and I just looked through the roof of the truck and I was like, "Okay, Dustin." And I was like, "All right, I'm gonna go give my brother my 2 weeks' notice." And I got out of the truck and walked in, and my brother was on the phone, and I was like, "Hey, dude, this is not working out for me. This is my 2 week notice." And he was on the phone and he just looked up, like covered the end of the phone with his hand, and he goes, "That's what you want?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "All right, good. Let see you later." And that was it. He was so chill about it. And 2 weeks later, I started my own handyman company, and I was like, "Man, I guess this is gonna have to work out." And lo and behold, in year one, it was six figures without even blinking. I didn't advertise, but like one Facebook ad, and my brother actually put me on their referral list for their customers. So I already knew that if Parmer and Sons or my family company had worked for them, that they were going to be pretty high-end customers, and they weren't going to kind of yank my chain around because I didn't want that. And it turned out really good. And I remember going home and telling my wife, I was like, "Hey, so I quit my job today." And she goes, she didn't even blink. She was making dinner. I think she was holding the baby at the time. And she goes, "Okay, cool. So what are we doing about income?" And I was like, "I
Love
don't know. I haven't figured that out yet." And that was
it.
that. So it was quite the experience. And I don't know that I would have done that without you asking me to do the podcast. And God has really provided for us. And
Well,
I'm a
this is almost 2 years
one-man.
now, isn't it?
Yeah, I just was doing the paperwork today to file for taxes for 2 years.
Wow. 2 years now. Not working for somebody else, getting 100, I mean, six figures in one business, let alone your other real estate, other business that you have too. Now, changing your life so dramatically like this, I won't say dramatically because it's just different.
It's
Working for somebody else.
dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but you're 100% right. Most people spend 50 plus years working for somebody else. And so when I say it's not a get rich quick scheme, it's definitely not, it's not a scheme whatsoever. It's a plan. But number two, what's your definition of quick? I mean, quick going from zero to 4 or 5 years later, being able to become financially independent or not work for somebody else, that's very quick to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. And I can't remember who said this. Wasn't me. I didn't come up with it, but it makes great sense. somebody was saying that it's more risky to work a 9-to-5 job for 30 years and plan for retirement than it is to take a risk and start your own company. Because you could make in 1 year, literally, you could make in 1 year what most people would make in 30, depending on what you're doing. I have a family member that legitimately is doing that currently as we speak. And it's, I was talking to him. I was like, dude, I am so proud of you. That is awesome. That's fantastic. And he's a great business guy and he gives me advice all the time.
Well,
So,
just imagine, and you're right too, what people spend 40 hours a week doing for somebody else, they do it for themselves and they get 100% of the value that they would normally put out in those 40 hours. When you're working for somebody else, they got to take some off the top. They're not paying you more
Of
than you're
course.
worth. They're paying you less because they need to
Right.
make some money. And so
And they
instead,
don't want you to leave.
exactly. And so they don't want you to leave, but then also you're kind of beholden to that paycheck. And so instead, you, just like a lot of other people that I try to encourage with successfully unemployed, is no, it's not that we don't work. People say, well, do you work? Like, of course I still work. I don't work for somebody else. I don't have a
Yeah.
JOB. I'm not working just over broke. But now I have four or five businesses now. I make at least at minimum 10 times what I made when I was working a job. That's a minimum. I'm just kind of random number, but I know I make so much more money. It's because now all the value that I have out that I put out in the world, I get 100% of the benefit of it.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're touching so many lives by sharing and encouraging other people to do the same thing. And really, it's pretty crazy. You change even one person's life and you're like, oh, that's great. That's one person, but it's really not. You're changing their kids' lives, the people whom they talk to, and the people that they can share with and encourage. Like, I wouldn't have been doing any of this without Master Passive Income podcast. So it, like, I mean, I'm super thankful and I know I have a lot of things to learn still, and I look forward to it. I'm to the point where I really look forward to learning something new. I enjoy it. And like,
Talk to me about
sky's the limit.
now you went from being a student, now you're a coach here at Master Passive Income, helping people. Talk to us about that process, and now you've been able to help even other people.
Yeah, so I remember, man, I don't remember what year it was. I think it was 23, 22, or late 22 or in 23 when you reached out and was like, hey, what do you think about potentially being a coach for Master Passive Income, teaching the exact process that you just went through? And I was like, man, that sounds really interesting. And it's, I remember my talking to my wife about it, and I said, I don't know why Dustin wants me to do this. I was like, well, he's got a pick. Like he could have like the cream of the crop. And she's like, I don't know. He obviously sees something in you that he likes. And I was like, well, I want to do as good as I can. Make sure that I am helping students be smart with their decisions, try to teach them better than myself, because I want them to be better than me. I don't want anyone to be subpar. I want them to be better than me. I want them to have success faster than me. And in teaching, you really have to know what you're talking about because it's hard to teach something when you don't know what you're talking about. That's been a blessing, and it's been a pretty amazing to be able to just change what seems like not a big deal at the time can literally drastically change somebody's direction in life. One little piece of information. Like for instance, this wasn't coaching necessarily, but it was at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. Jonathan is his name, and I remember 1 year we were just talking out in the conference lobby, and he said, "Hey, I got this guy that wants to go into business with me. I've never built houses before, but I think it's really fascinating. My fiance is a great designer, all this other stuff, interior, exterior. She loves that stuff." And I said, well, looked at his fiance and I said, well, what do you think? She said, well, I don't like this guy that he wants to go into business with. And I said, okay, well, he explained the situation. I was like, dude, run, 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 and don't stop. And so I said, keep pursuing what you're doing, just change how you're doing it and look for a different partner. I was like, this is an excellent event for that. Fast forward a year, next RubeCon. And he came and gave me like the biggest bear hug. I thought my ribs were going to break. And he's like, I just have to say thank you so much for the advice you gave me last year. And I was like, Jonathan, no offense, man, but you're going to have to remind me what we talked about. And so he started laughing and he's like, well, you encouraged me to follow what I really wanted to do, what I had a passion for. And he's like, it's real estate, but it's more on the development side. And he's like, we're developing houses. And I said, well, how's it been going? He's like, man, we have built from the ground up 14 houses in 1 year, and we're making $150,000 to $175,000 net on every house.
Wow.
He's like, we're building in two states right now and we have 20 or something under construction.
What's Jonathan's last name?
I should know him. Can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay, get to me later. I'm just curious because I'm like, that's phenomenal. I try to do my best to remember everybody as best I can who comes to my events. And so the name sounds familiar, but I probably would recognize him.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. He's got a really big personality. He's a fun guy. But it was one of those things that was, for me, was like, man, that felt so awesome just to be able to inspire somebody to go do something like that. And his life changed basically overnight. And Jonathan Davis, maybe. Anyway, I'll double check that.
Well, you know, what's great
Lopez,
too is,
sorry, Jonathan Lopez. So I'll have
Lopez,
to shout
got
out
it.
And send him this episode.
So one thing that you're really getting to experience is when I can't even remember who my first coaching student was. I honestly can't. I could probably go back and look and find out. But when I helped my first coaching student buy the first property, I felt it wasn't my accomplishment, but yeah, I felt so much more fulfilled. It was great. I was like, when somebody else would look at me as like, Dustin, you helped me to do this. I'm like, all I did was just kind of give you pointers here and there. I was going to coach you, obviously, how to do it. You did it. And they said, no, thank you so much. It just made me feel so great. I was like, I got to keep doing this. Like, this is the best thing ever. I get this feeling that I'm fulfilled just by helping other people. Let me do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've experienced that in different ways too. Like I've gone and done disaster relief, and that the feeling of really helping people that need a lot and don't have anything. It was absolutely, it is a very similar feeling. But as far as coaching, I kind of describe it as like when you take your kids bowling for the first time and you put the bumpers up, right? Because you're like, you don't want them to get a gutter ball because that's discouraging. Well, as a coach, we're the bumpers. And we're getting them down the bowling lane to get the strike, right? And so I kind of use that analogy when it comes to coaching. And it's, yeah, coaching really, really propels you forward. And to me, it's absolutely worth it.
I love it. William, this has been fantastic. I'm so blessed to have you be a part of everything. I'm blessed that you have allowed me to be a part of this journey with you. It's just fun for me to be able to see this. And so I feel fulfilled seeing all the success you've had. So thank you so much for being on. But how can people find you online, maybe find you on Instagram, check out your podcast and all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast Breakthrough Investor is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So just search Breakthrough Investor, and it's a big green logo with me and Charles on it. So pretty easy to find. And then Instagram is basically the only one I really do. So william.c.parmer at Instagram, /Instagram.com, I think it is.
You should just do the William Parmer. I'm pretty sure.
I know. I really should change that handle. Actually, Charles the other day was like, you might want to take the dots out of there. It makes it
harder. There's a lot of dots.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a good point. So that's on my list of things to look
into. Just do the William Parmer. I 100% believe nobody else has that. Easy to say.
I'll have to change the handle. But anyway, you can find me there. And just shoot me a message. Love the chat and learn more about what other people are doing too.
Love it. William, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate you, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And looking forward to more real estate, more learning and more growth. And thanks so much for doing your podcast, because it literally changed my life and my family's life. So
thanks, brother. And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, RENTAL to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.